I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you are amazing, God. For Lord, I just proclaim, Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. It's about your name, Lord. It's about your love for us, Lord God. It's about the cross of Christ, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you've paid the price for all of us, Lord, that we can have life and life in abundance, God. And Father, I pray for all of us, Lord, that we'll come to that place, Lord, to be your disciples. Your word says, if we want to follow you, be your disciples, Lord, we must deny ourselves, we must pick up our cross, and we must follow you, Lord. And Father, we pray by your grace that we can come to a place where we can, Lord, deny ourselves, Lord, and pick up our crosses, Lord, for you, for the kingdom, and to follow you, to truly be your disciples, God, to this world, because you've not called us to be hirelings, but you call us to be sons. You've adopted us as children, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we can know we are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, Lord. We are ambassadors in this earth, Lord God. But our rewards, there will be rewards here, but there's rewards eternally, Lord God. And God, I pray that all of us, Lord, will not get tired, Lord, but our focus and our faith and will be on you, Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you speak through me today, Lord God. I just surrender myself, my purpose, everything that I have, my mind, my thoughts to you, Lord God. And I really stand in faith that the words that I'm speaking is your words this evening in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every person who's here, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you have such amazing plans for all of us, Lord God, that you have a heart for everybody, Lord, to take us from darkness into your marvelous light, Lord. But I pray for your grace, Lord, that we can walk out of darkness and coming into your marvelous light, Lord, that we won't walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, Lord, but that we will become people who are sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I walked in Pick and Pay yesterday. And I saw a man, Steve Swartz. He's the MP for the ACDP. And I've met him before, briefly, when that General Butt Naked was speaking to all of us. And I just, I was one of those, oh, I've got to go and speak to him, I've got to go and speak to him. Then eventually I went to him and I said, hi, Steve, my name is Theo, I've met you once before. And then we started talking and we had church in Pick and Pay. And eventually he said to me, can I pray for you, brother? And I said, please. And he laid hands on me. This man is the MP in Parliament. He anoints the chairs where the president sits. He prays for our country. Now he prophesies over me. And he speaks life over me. He speaks things over me that he couldn't have known. And I'm so blessed. And I just want to say, and he said to me one thing. God is saying I'm like Elijah. And it's not only me. There's 6,000 other prophets out there. And because I felt lonely for a long time. I felt worn out. I felt like I wanted to give up for a long time, and I just couldn't carry on anymore. And it's tough to stand when people around you just start dying, and it feels like everyone is speaking against you, and you're taking strain, and you're not knowing where the next shot is going to come from, and then it comes, and you're like, when is this going to stop? Will it ever stop? And it continues. All these things happens with you, and it was a tough time. You know, many people that like. We were talking about, I was speaking to people yesterday at the children's party, and this guy I've known for many, many years, his wife and I actually used to be very good friends. She ran a half marathon in 78 minutes, and I tried to train with her for some stage. It didn't work well for me. Anyway, but we were talking about small groups, and he was saying, we are very comfortable in our small group. We have a great, great small group. And the people in my small group are very important people. And the one guy is a very important guy. But they don't want new people in their small group. They just feel it's too important for them to stay together as a group. And I said to him, you know, you must understand from my side as well. There comes like 100, 200 people to our church. And no one takes them in their hands. So what about them? I said, would you rather just have them going to hell? He says, yes. They can go to hell. For us, it's more important that we stay together. And I said, oh, you know, this is concerning to me. But I understand where he was coming from. All of us are worn down. We're taking strain. Some of us have children. We work hard. We come home. We are tired. We just want someone to pray with us, to unload, say, guys, I'm taking strain. We don't want another burden, another person that we can unload to and say, and this person come with his problems to me. We just want someone to say, come to me, I'll look after you. Isn't that true? Aren't many of us in that place where we're really taking strain, but there's no way out? And I've been going through that for a while. And when Baron said to me, we must go to Sri Lanka, I didn't hear words from heaven saying, go to Sri Lanka. I just thought, okay, the word says go to all the nations. I'll just go with Baron. I need a break. So, okay, let's go to Sri Lanka. And we went to Sri Lanka. Landing there was tough, especially if you get car sick, because they drive. No one gets angry, but they drive very hard. And they drive and stop and do this all the time. And people just pull in front of you. They hoot and no one gets upset. And I was like all the time. But I could sense the spiritual atmosphere. It was completely different to here. It was overwhelming. And God started speaking to me about stuff that I revealed later on. We started walking in the street and everyone was looking at our feet. It was strange. It was weird. And then that scripture later on came to me that blessed are the feet, or how beautiful are the feet of those who brings the good news. And the other thing, there was this guy, a really cool guy. Let me just see, like, how cool was he? He was like Brad. Such a cool guy. A very cool guy. Came to me, but he looked like retarded. It was like something is wrong with this guy, and this guy threw me, and he was starting speaking stuff to me. I didn't understand what this guy was saying to me. And we came home, and I started, I don't know what happened. It was something, someone poured stuff on me. And I was going through a tough, tough time. That night I dreamt my wife wanted to divorce me. And or she was going to divorce me for one of the guys in church. And now I'm like, yeah, the people will probably expect me to be happy for this guy. And I'm upset with my wife. I'm upset with this guy. I'm angry. And now I've got to tell my children that mommy wants to divorce me. And I woke up and I was angry and I wanted to go home. I wanted to be with my wife. I missed this so much that first day. And so that was the beginning of our trip. And as we went, God started revealing more and more things to me. And wherever you go, you see these statues of Buddha all over the place. And we went to a place called Kandy. It's in the middle of Sri Lanka. And there's this place, they call it a tooth relic. And inside there's a tooth of Buddha, apparently. And this guy they've left it there for some reason. But there's like these Freemason buildings. And there's the Buddha temples. And there's a Hindu temple. And there's a Islam temple. And there's a Roman Catholic church. All camped into a place. And all the people come to worship there. And we're like, wow, this is weird. And we went to this a place where people get buried. What do you call it? A cemetery. That's right. And there was a man. His name was Charles. And he showed us four graves that all the British officials, when they come to Sri Lanka, they go and visit these four graves. And the very next day, Prince Charles was going to come to that place and he was going to visit those four graves again. And this man's name was Charles. And we spoke to him. And then next moment he turned to me and he says, he said to me, I want to go to hell. And I looked at him and I said, why? And he said, I want to meet Lucifer. And then I said, Owens, jylle moet bid. That's the nice thing about Afrikaans. No one understands it. So we started praying and I really wanted to lead this man to the Lord. And I started talking to him about Jesus. And he said, everything in his life that happens, the opposite happens to him. So inherent, he wanted to go to heaven, but he's been so disappointed so many times, he was speaking that he wanted to go to hell, because he actually wanted to go to heaven. But you know, what you speak is what you get. So eventually, I wrote there a letter and said, Dear Charles, Jesus loves you, and in whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I knew, we just did that, and the next day we were praying, the guy said, you know, Prince Charles is probably going to read that tomorrow because he was going to visit that place as well. So there were appointments like that we had that was really supernatural. And then, you know, having a church service and they call it a healing service and I'm the preacher, that's pressure, because God must heal and I must preach. And if you don't have faith for that, then you're in trouble. But the thing that I saw all of this time was the one thing, the idols, wherever we went. But when we brought the gospel, people responded, and God moved very powerfully. People got saved. People got healed. Blind people saw. People who can't walk started walking. But the scary thing is, if you don't have faith, when you pray, everyone does this. And they go like that and said, "Are you? Can you see?" And they go, and they smile. That means yes. And this means no. So we were very confused. We really had to trust the Holy Spirit. And I think Richard said it as well. When you don't understand what someone is saying, you have to hear what God is saying. And we were right every time, because God is right every time. And we really experienced God's goodness. There was one child that was very, very sick. Hindu parents, they were like on the brink of coming to Christ. We prayed for them. And then Baron said immediately he saw this charm around this babe, this little boy's neck. And when I prayed, I saw this. It was like standing out. And I knew the Holy Spirit was putting my attention to this. And I said to the interpreter, that thing must go off. And he said, but, you know, this is very dear to them. They believe it will bring health. And we just knew that was what the curse was. So what I saw there was some people completely surrendered, some people between the two places. Now I came back and I listened to a sermon of Mark Driscoll, he's from the States, and he's talking about, he's preaching on this Exodus 20, and he says he met this lady from China, or from India, in India, and he asked you know, she asked him, where are you from? And he said, from the States. Oh, she's been to the States. She said, really? Would you like want to go back? She says, no. That country is too idolatrous for me. And he's like, what? Too idolatrous for you? You have all these Hindu temples and Buddhist temples. It's too idolatrous for you. And that's what it is. When I came here, I realized we are an idolatrous country. And I want to tell you why I'm saying so. The thing is, when you in your circumstances, you don't see it. When you get taken out, you start seeing your own circumstances. And when you go to Exodus 20, God speaks. And he says, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Lord Jesus Christ is our God. When we surrender to Him, He takes us out of slavery. The other thing that I've also seen is when people need deliverance, they don't have to do a course to receive deliverance. They just say, I need deliverance. We pray and God delivers them. If they need healing, they don't do a course and renounce all these things. They just surrender to Jesus, say, and we pray. And something here in South Africa, we've got to do these courses, and I've been struggling with this for many, many years. I'm not talking against it. I just want to be clear. But because we pray many times and we don't see the breakthrough as we see over there. And I'm asking myself the question, why don't we see the breakthrough? Because it's the same person, the same faith praying, but people get healed just like this. They get set free like that. They respond. To me, there's a place of people are hungry for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do an altar call, they just come forward. I think Byrne said to me, Apostle Byrne, he said, like, before I made the altar call, they were sitting ready to come forward. It's like they were doing this. They are just so hungry for God. They're hungry, hungry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they come forward, God honors that. And they have breakthroughs. And what frustrates me sometimes is, you know, because I said, now I can, you do an altar call, and you know, you've been spending time with God, you've been praying for hours and hours and hours, and it's been confirmed in intercession. We do an altar call and no one responds. And then later on, like two or three people come to you and they say, oh, you know, that word was for me. I just want to tell you quickly, can you just now pray for me? And I'm like, you should have come when God made the call. But there, they come and they receive because they're hungry. They want to be, they want to receive from God because God wants to take us out of slavery. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or what is in the water underneath. So there should be no statues and stuff in our houses that reflects to God or to any other God. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, am your God. I am a jealous God. And this I understand. I'm jealous for my wife. Yes, when I had that dream, I was angry. I can think God gets angry when we have other gods before Him. When we come before Him and we serve other stuff. When there's other things that we put higher than Him. If I must have been Uzziah, I probably would have strangled my wife. But God said to him, you must take her back. She was sleeping with many, many men. And God just said to him, take him back. The way that she's making you feel is that how my people are making me feel. And Uzziah too has been coming through in intercession quite a bit as well. So I understand what God is saying. And even in my own life, I'm starting to realize how we can put even ministry as an idol before God. Ministry becomes so important to us, or maybe the movies, or there are many things that we do that we place higher in our lives than who God is. But He visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate Him. And then this is very important, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. God shows steadfast love to thousands who love me and who keep my commandments. And in John 1 John, when you read it, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And there's a case to be built for the obedience to God. That when He says, you must forgive, that we must forgive because the Word says, I must forgive. When He says, we must go and feed the orphans, we must give food to the orphans because the Word says, I must feed the orphans. Do the commandments of God. If He says, I must repent for I'm sinful, we must repent. If God says, we must be kind, we must be kind. And if we're not struggling, we go to God and say, God, I want to be kind, but I'm angry. I want to repent because I'm an angry person in Jesus' name. If I'm hard with my wife, God says, I will resist you. I will resist your prayers. Say, God, I'm hard with my wife. Forgive me, Lord. Give me love for my wife. If He says, go to the nations, we must go to the nations. Because that's what the Word says. That is what the Word says. If we love God, we will keep His commandments. There's something about us who we've been influenced by this grace message. And we say, but God loves me. Oh, God loves me. And we can do whatever we want because of His grace. But the Word in the Old Testament, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it confirms in 1 John, if you love me, keep my commandments. But if you love Jesus, you want to keep His commandments. And that is the thing that I want to say. If when you meet Christ, you want to do what He wants us to do. He's amazing. God is awesome. Jesus is amazing. When you meet Him, and sometimes you meet Him by spending time with Him. We can't have a relationship if you don't spend time with your spouse or your friends or your girlfriends. We have to spend the time. And sometimes in spending the time is where you get to know them, because you spend the time with them. So this morning or this evening, I want to talk to us about just what are the things that we are serving? Where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our money? Where do we spend our talents? If we have a 24-hour day, I'm idolatrous to sleep. I know that. I must repent. But I love to sleep. But the rest of the day, let's say we sleep 12 hours. I wish. What do we do with the rest of the day? Where do we spend our money? What's the first thing that you pay for? What is that first thing that you do? Is it maybe your tithing? Because where your heart is, How does it go again? Your treasure is. Where do we spend our talents? If there's a place of serving as well. We don't serve in church because it's about church. It's about God. And even serving in church can become idolatrous in our life. If we put it above God, if we do stuff for the Lord, and it's not about relationship with Him, that becomes idolatry in our lives as well. I'm also very convicted that in the church at the moment, there's a move that focuses the attention on us as people and not onto God. And we sing amazing songs and we come and it's about how high we can jump before Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that can become idolatrous in our lives. That we become and we bring the worship in a way becomes bigger than God in our relationship with God. And we can have smoke and beautiful stages. All of that is to set the mood. But is it higher than our relationship with God? Because our character will reflect if we've been spending time with God. It's that place where we are is in right standing with God. It will reflect in the fruits that we have. And not in the show that we present. Anything else is idolatrous. It's an idol that we set up before God. And the thing that I believe in our country that is the biggest idol is money. I believe we are worshipping money in this country. 1 Timothy says, but if we have food and clothing, with this we will be content. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with this. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. So if we have a hunger to become rich, man, I just want that job. If I have that job, I can buy that car. If I have that car, I can get that girlfriend. If I have that girlfriend, I can get those children. If we want more and more things. And the Bible says here, for those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. That desire can become bigger than what God wants us to have. And it says, into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The desire to be rich can bring harm to us, to plunge people into ruin and destruction. This man I spoke to, he said to me, Theo, I was making R1 million a month. He doesn't know where his money is going to come from next month. I got a fright when I saw that. I really believe God is shaking us to bring us our focus back to Him, away from the world, but back to Him. Then He says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money. Money's not the root of all. It's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through its craving for this money, that some have wandered away from the faith. So if we have a desire, craving for money, it will draw us away from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and pierced Himself with many, many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. She's saying flee the worldly things. Go away from that. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. She's pursue those things that says in the Bible. To walk in righteousness, to be in right standing with God, to walk in godliness, that we don't swear and drink and do things that we shouldn't, and look at things that we shouldn't do, watch movies that we shouldn't watch. It's like the X-Men and all these things on the airport. I so badly wanted to watch what was going on in that movie, but I knew it was bad for me. But there's this desire to want to watch what is actually happening in this thing. But I know afterwards I will struggle with the thoughts that it will be planted into my mind. Pursue faith in God, that I know that whatever I ask in the Lord, I will be given to us what is in His world, to walk in faith and not by sight. Love for God, love for people, to be steadfast in all that we do, in gentleness, that we walk in gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life. Our fight, our daily walk, is not about what we achieve here on earth. It's about what we're going to achieve in heaven one day. Our focus must be eternal focus. It mustn't be on this world. Our focus must be eternally, because we will be rewarded for the things we do here on earth in eternity. We're going to be judged for every thought that we had, every word that we spoken, I mean, here on when we go to heaven. There is a place that we must start realizing that eternally we're going to stand before God, and that we must live our lives for that. I just want to take you to Luke 18 as well. This young ruler came to Jesus, said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And then he says, "You know the commandments. What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "You know the commandments." And he goes through the commandments. He says, "Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And the first thing I was thinking, what about the grace message? We must just believe. Just believe. Just pray the prayer of repentance and I will have eternal life. But here Jesus says, "You know the commandments." That's a challenge to you, because it challenges me. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's eternal. He was completely man. He was completely God. When he asked him, "What must I do to have eternal life?" he says, "Keep the commandments." And this man said, "All these I have kept from my youth." And then Jesus said to him, "Yes, there's still one thing that you lack. Sell all that you have." Now it's there. We don't want to preach about this scripture, but now I'm trying to. I'm saying, sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. This is what Christianity is about. Surrender. Deny yourself. Pick up our cross and follow Jesus. It's not all the other stuff that we're saying. Just believe. It says, deny yourself and follow Christ. And this man, he was very sad, because he was extremely rich. He didn't want to walk away from the riches. He was very, very sad. And then Jesus, seeing that he became sad, he said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." This is hard, but this is scripture. And where I'm convicted, when I saw these people and they have idols in their lives, I'm seeing when we come home, we go to the mall, we go to rugby, on Sundays. And, you know, if you take a person 2,000 years ago and you bring him to a rugby match, won't you think that is worship? Because they do a sacrifice worship on the fire, and they do drink offerings to the Lord, and everyone dresses the same. And they do all these things to get the gods for the team to win. Isn't that worship? Isn't that idolatry in our hearts? Because we look at and we put Lady Gaga on the posters, and we go to the shows, and you see all the people doing this. Isn't that worship? Worship unto other gods. And we come together and we scream because Kate Perry and all these people are telling us to scream. And when Madonna is coming together and she gets people to recite things, that is occultic. And I don't know if you know that Kate Perry has sold her soul to the devil. And we go to her concerts and we praise with her, because her praise is not going to God. But we come before that, and there's a place that I believe we as Christians must deny this world and walk out of this world, and to follow Christ, to follow who Jesus truly, truly was. And then they said to Jesus, "But then who can be saved?" And this is the good news. What is impossible for man is possible with God. I'm not speaking against money. I'm just saying we must surrender to Christ. I just say we must deny ourselves and come to Jesus. We must come to Him completely and surrender completely to Him and His purposes. Now I just want to add this three scriptures to you as well. Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." Jesus said to him, "There is no one who have left his house, his wife, his brothers, parents, or children for the sake of the kingdom who will not receive many, many times more in this time and in the age to come." There's a blessing when we do this, when we surrender. When we surrender, we will be blessed here in this earth, but we'll be blessed eternally as well. God knows what is better for us. He knows that in this world, it will lead to destruction. In His kingdom, it will lead to blessing. That's why God wants us to walk out of the world into His kingdom, that He can bless us, that we can be open for the blessings of God, that He can fulfill through us the purposes that He had bestowed on us as His people. A friend of mine said to me the other day, he wanted me to pray for him, and he said to me, you know, Theo, I can't surrender to Christ. He comes to church for many years, but he can't surrender to Christ. And it still grieves me because he was crying. But he couldn't even pray, God, I surrender completely to You. And I think all of us really go through that fight to say, God, You can take everything. But I want to make a wild statement here. I believe if we don't come to that place, God is going to force us to that place where we come to a place and say, okay, God, now I give everything. And it started with me, with my son, Daniel, when he was really sick. And there was that weekend and I thought he was going to die. And Lynette and I said, Lord, as Abram put Isaac on the altar, today we put Daniel on the altar to You, Lord God. But now we're lying on the floor, on the kitchen floor, and we're crying because we know what it meant. It means that our son could die. And that for a parent, that's probably the worst thought that can go through a parent's mind, is that your child could die. And there was a time I was driving in a car and I said, God, but it's my son. And all I heard was God saying, it was mine too. That was God, what I heard God saying to me. It was mine too. And then I cried. And I realized the price that Christ had paid for us on the cross. Revelations 3. I'm sorry, God. But this is really what Lord has been speaking to me about. I know Your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would You either be hot or cold? So because You are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit You out of my mouth. Now, verse 17. For You say, I am rich. You say, I am rich. You say, I have prospered and I need nothing. Isn't this where we in the West are? We are rich. We're in a good place. We have two cars. We have two garages. We have a kitchen. We have a place where there's huge televisions. We have fridges full of food. We have deep freezers full of food. We are rich. We are wealthy. We have income. We have salaries. We have 13th checks, sometimes 14th checks. We get bonuses. Our children go to the best schools. We just want our children to go to the best schools. We work because so that our children can go to the best places. We go to movies where there's surround sound. We are rich. But then you come to a place like Sri Lanka where there's no food and they force us to eat very hot food and we smile. And every time then Kuba says to me, you must eat it because he's read 1 Corinthians 13 and you must love. And my mouth is burning. And the woman is standing there and they wait until all of us have eaten. And if there's anything left over, then they will come and eat. Phew, it broke my heart. I was thrown by that. And the other thing that really shook me was we went to Gerard's cousin. This man got saved 34 years ago. The man that led him to the Lord when they were in the army is still his friend. He's been in Sri Lanka for 27 years. Dr. Malik, 27 years he's been living in Sri Lanka. His ministry is girls, young girls, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, 7 years old, that have been raped by their parents, their uncles, their grandparents, because the mothers must go to Dubai to work and the fathers have sexual desire and then they take their own daughters. And I felt angry and I felt ashamed. I didn't want to look at these young girls because I felt so disgusted as a man. I was very angry. I wanted to hurt somebody. And then he introduced us to the girls and he says, like this one girl, she's been here for 2 weeks. And you can see that wild look in her eyes. And another one, she's been here for 4 months and she had that wild look in her eyes. But then you go to the ones that have been there 6 years and 7 years, and this one is a Christian. You can see the love in their eyes. And they look at this man. He's a father to them. He's a spiritual father to this, to these young girls. And he sacrificed his life. 34 years he's been saved. And he asked us to pray for him. There we were standing like that. The man that led him to the Lord, he said to us, come, you must listen. And we put our hands like that. And we could hear water. And everyone was sending us these scriptures, living waters, living waters. And we stood there. We heard the living waters. And he said that was the scripture that God had given him about living waters. And when he bought that form, or a man bought that form for him, that scripture came to fulfillment because that was living waters. And you can see in those girls' life, living waters come through from that man's life. That man surrendered his life for Christ. And I believe in heaven he's going to sit right next to Jesus because of what he has done for him. And I felt so little. I just feel so little compared to who this man is. But we say we are rich. We have prospered and we need nothing. Not realizing that we are wretched, pitiable. Arme ek. Ek is so jammer vir myself. Dis nie meer lekker hierso nie. We are poor, blind and naked. But God says, I counsel you to buy gold refined by fire. That we surrender. When God's character comes and he shakes us, our character is being built. We build character from God. We build that God that's refined by fire so that we can be rich. That we can be rich in Christ. And that we buy white garments. That's the righteousness of God. That we can be clothed. And that the shame of our nakedness can be covered. So that we can see. So that he can anoint our eyes so that we can see. You know, there's nothing more amazing when God heals someone and he uses you. But for someone to be, they who are blind, if you pray for them and you're like, you don't even want to think about what if, and that person can see. Just, but I believe we are blinded. And I had a picture of Saul this morning. He knew the Bible. He read the Bible. He knew the scriptures. But he was persecuting Christ. And when he came to Damascus, God spoke to him and he said to me, why are you persecuting me, Saul? And he says, who are you, Lord? I said, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he could see that scales fell off his eyes. And I'm trusting for all of us, especially for me, that the scales will fall off my eyes. That I can see Jesus for who he truly is. And then Jesus says to us here, to whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. To whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. When we go through tough times and God is disciplining us, it's because he loves us. I'm so convicted of this thing more than ever in my life. And I want to say, I'm actually grateful to go through his discipline because my character gets bold. I become more righteous because of my own strength. I just realize I cannot do this. And he says, so be zealous and repent. And repentance is not, Here, ek is jammer vir my sondes nie. It's not what it is. He says, I make a decision for you, Lord Jesus. I repent, I turn away from this world, and I turn to you, Jesus. Every day. Lord, I return to you. Jesus himself said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repenting is making a turn 180 degrees, metanoia. We turn around saying, I'm making a choice for you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Every day, surrender to Christ. Say, Lord, today I make a choice for you. What is your will for my life today? I choose for you, Jesus. I choose for you, Lord. I choose for you. Turn away from the world. Turn for Jesus. Wherever you are, turn away from the world and come to Jesus. Then he says, and I want to finish with this. Behold, Jesus is knocking on the door. He knocks on our door. If you hear his voice, open the door. And he will come in and eat with us and he with me. And he will refresh us. And he will give us living bread. And he will give us living water. Jesus will refresh us. So my call to you today is, you must die so that you can live. Amen. Father, we just come before you, Lord, and Lord God, I want to repent, Lord. I just want to repent of being idolatrous before you, God. Of having other gods before you. Of putting sport and ourselves and our marriages and our families and our children and our careers. Putting all of that higher than you, Lord. And God, we come with many excuses, Lord, and we tell the world and we tell ourselves that we don't need you, God. We believe we are rich and we don't pray, God. And we walk this walk and we have all the knowledge, God, but we don't live according to your word, God. We hear the word, but we don't do it, God. And Lord, I want to repent, God. I want to repent and I want to ask you to please forgive us, Lord. And Father, we pray and I make a decision today, Lord, to serve you, to turn to you, God. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, let your kingdom come in my life here, Lord, here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. God, that what I do here on this earth, God, will count for eternity, Lord. Not because of who I am or that I can be seen or that I can be someone, Lord God, but because it brings glory to your name. Lord Jesus, my heart and my desire is that your name be glorified over this place, God, in the name of Jesus. That people will know that you are the living God. That there's no other God but you, Lord Jesus. That you were in the beginning. You were the Word, and the beginning was the Word, and you were the God, Lord. And Father, thank you, Lord, that we can know that all things were made through you. That you are a creator God that created the heavens and the earth. You created all the stars, everything that's therein, Lord. That even the angels were created by you. That all of us were created by you, God. And Lord, that all that we try and do in our own strength is vanity. If we're not doing it to you, God. And Lord, as we sit here, God, and I just pray for your Spirit to come and minister to people here, Lord. This is not to bring condemnation into any heart, but I'm really trusting you to see the Father calling to his children. And maybe many of us are like those girls in Candy, and your circumstances are terrible because you're getting abused at home. But this is all that you know. You don't know a father that loves without wanting anything from you. You don't understand love that is a giving love and not a taking love. You don't understand love that is not lust, but it's a sacrificial love of oneself. And maybe if you are here and you want to say, I want to surrender to Christ, and you want to make a declaration to the Lord, and maybe you want to respond and just come forward and say, God, today I want to surrender to you. I want to walk. My one foot is in the world, but today I choose for you, Jesus. I want to take this foot out of this world, and I want to stand in this kingdom. And I want to ask you, God, that I be raised up to become an ambassador for Christ. And if it means that I have to go anywhere in this world to bring the good news, that I'm prepared to go. Even if it's the Maldives, Lord, that we'll go wherever you want us to go, God. That we'll be and stand and say what you want us to say. But we'll keep our mouths when you want us to do it as well. Because I just understand you are a jealous God and you love your people so, so much. And we are struggling and we're taking strain and we're not seeing victory in our lives because we are double-minded in you, Lord. We've not sacrificially surrendered to you in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone that just feel they want prayer now, I'm going to ask the guys from Sri Lanka to just come and stand here to anoint you, to pray with you. If anyone wants to respond, if the guys can just come forward. I'm going to ask you as we maybe just bring a song to the Lord of worship. And just in your own heart, just ask the Lord, God, what is the idols in my heart? do you want me to respond to this call, Lord? And I want to ask each one of you, ask the Lord, God, do you want me to respond to this call in the name of Jesus? Because you're not surrendering to me, you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not selling show for a Christian church. We must always sell Jesus. It's all about the Lord. He is the head. We are just the body. We follow His leading. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.